Today I'm going to talk about relation between sole surface resistance and sole surface reflectance. My co-author is Dr. Stephen Maas, but he couldn't come here today, so I'm going to give the presentation. Last year, during this Agronomy Society meetings in Houston, Dr. Maas, he presented a model that suggested that the sole surface resistance might be evaluated from the sole reflectance. So the objective of this study was to collect the field data and test our hypothesis, because last year we didn't have any field data to validate our hypothesis. This year we collected data from three study sites. These fields are near a small town, Lochney. This is fairly close to Lubbock. We had data from a bare soil field, irrigated corn field, and irrigated cotton field. Today I'm going to present the data only from the bare soil field. So the instrumentation we had in the field include an open path AD Cuvierian system. This has a Lycor 7500 IRGA and a CSAT 3D sonic anemometer. And using this open path AD Cuvierian system, I was able to measure latent heat flux, sensible heat flux, momentum flux, and wind speed. I also measured the other components of energy balance, net radiation using an NR light net radiometer, and also I had the system to measure soil heat flux. I used self-calibrating Hooke's flux, soil heat flux plates, and I also had instruments to measure the volumetric water content and soil temperature. The remote sensing instrumentation we had in the field were a bunch of small radiometers. These are custom-built sensors that had red and near-infrared sensors in them. And I had a bunch of these sensors pointing at the soil surface. And I also made measurements of the soil surface temperature using infrared thermometers. So some of my results. The bottom graph here, this is volumetric water content plotted versus day of the year. And you can see here, when we started our experiment, the soil was very dry. But we had received a few showers here, but it was not enough to wet the soil really good. But on this day 101 and 106, we had two major rainfall events. It actually wet the soil pretty good. Here you can see the soil was wet, then it started drying. And we wanted to collect, you know, more data, but by the time the farmer wanted to plant cotton in his field, so we had to stop here. And the top graph here, it shows the reflectance plotter versus day of the year. Here are those two shower events. But here it didn't change the reflectance much, but the reflectance changed during that major two rain events. It actually decreased. So this is another way of plotting the reflectance. This is red reflectance plotter versus near infrared reflectance. And this is the bare soil line. So for this bare soil line, I used a bare soil line that I did in a previous study. This is a reference for that study. So you can see here that these points actually lie along the bare soil line. This was developed for the Pullman clay loam soil. This is the dry soils here, and this is the saturated soils here. So I used this information to calculate the soil brightness index. So this is the soil brightness index required the maximum distance between the dry soil and the saturated soil. Here I showed that maximum distance. So if you divide the distance of any point in the soil line by that maximum distance, you will get soil brightness index. You have to multiply it by 100. So if the soil is dry, the soil brightness index is 0, and if the soil is saturated, then it's 100. So this graph here, it shows the soil brightness index plotted versus day of year. You can see that, you know, in the initial part of the, you know, study, the soil was very dry. So the soil brightness index is almost 0, except those two shower events. And on day 101, we got that very good rainfall. And if you notice here, we have this point up here that is 100, which means the soil was saturated. Then the soil brightness index was decreasing because the soil was drying. Then we got another rainfall event. So that's the scatter of points here. So these are the different components of energy balance. These are 30-minute average values. I had net radiation, latent heat flux, sensible heat flux, and soil heat flux. So as you would expect, you know, because it was a bare soil and dry, the evaporation was low, so the latent heat flux was low. But after the rain, it increased. Here, the sensible heat flux. The soil was dry, so the sensible heat flux was very high. Then after the rain, it decreased. So this shows the energy balance closure. This is net radiation plotted versus some of other fluxes, latent, sensible, and soil heat fluxes. Here you can see here we got a slope of 0.98. This shows actually a very good energy balance closure. And this graph here, this shows the aerodynamic resistance plotted versus day of the year. We used the information coming from the sonic anemometer. We had the wind speed, then we had the friction velocity. So we used this information to calculate the surface roughness length, and this we used to calculate the aerodynamic resistance. So as you would guess, you know, it's around 0.5 cm. So this is the form of Penman-Montheit equation. We had all the, you know, fluxes here, latent heat flux, net radiation, soil heat flux, vapor pressure data, except surface resistance. So we rearranged the equation and calculated the surface resistance. This is soil surface resistance plotted versus day of the year. You can see, I'm going to start here. Here you can see when the soil was very wet, the resistance was fairly close to zero. Then as the soil was drying, the resistance started increasing. But here, when the soil was dry, you can see there's a lot of scatter in these, you know, values. But if you take the average of these values, it's approximately 1,000. And this is the two shower events. You can see again the resistance was, you know, very close to zero during those small shower events. Now we plotted the soil resistance versus the soil brightness index. So here we divided this into three stages. When the brightness index was greater than 40, between 20 and 40, and less than 20. So if you notice here, this, you know, these different stages, it actually corresponds to the bare soil evaporation phases. In phase one, the soil, the water is evaporating from the soil at the potential level, and the resistance is almost zero. And here the resistance increased. This is the evaporation is decreasing in this phase two stage because, you know, because of more evaporation from the soil, and the resistance actually increasing. And here we see the scatter. So the reason for the scatter is that, you know, at this stage, when the this phase three stage, when the evaporation is constant from the soil, actually this evaporation is not determined by the energy balance anymore. It's actually determined by the diffusion of soil from the lower layers to upper layers. So that's why we see this, you know, lot of scatter here. So conclusions are the soil surface soil resistance was related to soil reflectance quantified by the soil brightness index. And we can actually divide this relationship into three stages. When the soil brightness index is greater than 40, the surface resistance was almost zero. And between 20 and 40, the surface resistance increases because the soil was dry. And less than 20 soil brightness index, it corresponds to, you know, very low evaporation rate, and it is not controlled by the energy balance anymore, surface energy balance. So the applications include, nowadays we have this high resolution satellite data available from, you know, for example, RapidEye. They have 5 satellites, and, you know, we can get very frequent data 1 in 2 days, and the resolution is approximately 5 meters. So we can use these type of, you know, satellite data to come up with soil brightness index, then use that to evaluate this soil resistance factor. And also we can use this information to calibrate soil water balance models for crop condition assessment and also for irrigation scheduling. And again, we can come up with these type of relationships from the field studies. Finally, I would like to acknowledge Texas Alliance for Water Conservation. and our project manager, Mr. Rick Ellison, PI of the project, Dr. Vivian Allen, and all the participating farmers. Thank you so much.
We have time for questions for Nithya. Any questions?
How transferable do you think that the soil varieties in this district to different soil types, organic matter?
I think you can transfer the data pretty well because that brightness index, it shows the reflectance of the soil. So each time when we collected the reflectance, we calibrated our sensors. So we had like a 100% reflectance panel. So I would guess, you know, you can transfer the data to other locations, but I didn't do any other location study, so I'm not 100% sure about it, but I think it should be okay. Yes.
Yes,
I think I'm actually in the next presentation, you know, it's more like evapotranspiration studies we are doing there, so we may use these results in future. Now I'll collect more data this this winter, you know, to make sure, you know, this works. So I think we'll be using it. Yes. Yeah, this year I collected data from like the one in a corn field and a cotton field. I didn't get time to analyze the data, so I have the data, so maybe next year I'll present the data. I have the data, I have to see, you know, how it looks.